Hi, and welcome back to the Restaurant Guys. You're listening to Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. I want to thank Chris Cree again, who did our last segment from 56 Degrees.
Chris Cree, master of wine.
Bernardsville. This segment, we're going to be talking to John Fisher, author of Book At Your Service, and a professor at CIA, Culinary Institute of America, in service, and actually a very, very old friend of mine and Francis's.
Yeah, he's like 106. No, that's not that old. No, that's a horrible joke, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Anyway, John and Mark and I have been friends for a long time. We were in a lunch club together that lasted for about 10 years called the Red Meat Club. It was full of restaurateurs, chefs, wine buyers, and other crazy people who would meet on the second Monday of every month and eat red meat rare and drink red wine. And boy, that was a lot of fun. John, yeah. Are you there?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm too old.
Yeah. No, it was too much red meat in the days of the Red Meat Club.
Let me put my hearing aids in. Put my cane down.
So, John, you decided to grow up and become a professor and write a book.
Well, that didn't happen just as a conscious decision. It was just a it was a bit of a decision. When I was a student at the Culinary Institute way back in the late 80s, I realized that at some point I wanted to go back to my alma mater to teach, and it came true. After 12 years in Manhattan, I realized that it might be a good time for me to go up to Hyde Park, start teaching students the things that I had taught myself, and also perhaps start a writing career, and both of which have come true.
I just presume somebody bet you at 4 a.m. that you wouldn't do it.
No, although I tell you, when a student calls me professor, I still look behind me to see who they're talking to.
You know, if a student called you professor, I would look about
I would
the
look
room
behind.
Anyway, so, professor,
Wait, let me get my pipe.
Why don't you tell the people in the audience the fabulous places you worked in Manhattan when you worked there? You have a pretty broad experience actually working in the business.
Well, yeah, I've worked in a lot of different kinds of places. My first place that I went to right out of cooking school was the Hudson River Club in downtown Manhattan, the World Financial Center.
Yeah.
With Waldy Malouf, who's also a culinary grad and now at Beacon Restaurant on 56th Street, Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I worked with him for a good 3 years, going from assistant manager, eventually up to general manager, and along the way getting responsibility for the wine list and the beverage department as well. After that, I ended up at Mondrian with Tom Colicchio, who's the chef at Gramercy Tavern and the owner and chef at Kraft. Went to a fish restaurant after that, the Manhattan Ocean Club, with the last name Fisher. You kind of get typecast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then eventually wandered over to the world of Italian restaurants and went to Campania, which was a pretty hot place for a while with Mark Straussman.
And at that time, actually, you served me the best plate of polenta with truffles and an egg in the middle that I'd ever had in my life. I still dream
that
about that
dish.
That
was such an amazing dish.
Yeah, yeah, it really was.
It's still the best truffle dish.
Shamelessly, we rip it off at Sage Left every truffle season.
Still the best truffle dish that I've ever had.
Yeah. And you should only let people eat it with a spoon. Spoons are sexier than forks.
I agree. You can't eat polenta like that with a fork.
No.
Well, so, John, what's interesting, though, I mean, that's a pretty stellar bit of experience to take back to the CIA, which is the preeminent culinary school, certainly in America. But you're focused on front of the house, whereas I think historically most of the people from CIA have been back of the house people, chefs, line cooks, people like that. And back when you were you knew you wanted to go into the front of the house, yet you went to CIA. How did that all happen?
Yeah, well, my first job in the business, I was 24, and I was working at the Chart House in Dobbs Ferry, which at that point was a great chain of steak and seafood restaurants.
Sure,
very simple, but we got to wear Hawaiian shirts, which is where that obsession of mine started.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know.
Horrible.
We have them to blame.
Yeah.
But when I was there, I realized that I was in my mid-20s, and there were a bunch of 18-year-olds who had been in the business for at least 6 years, and I had to catch up to them in the knowledge area. And so I decided to – in fact, the guy that I used to butcher with at the steakhouse was a culinary graduate and said, if you want to learn about the restaurant business, you have to go to the culinary. And so I applied and got in. As a person who was planning to stay in the front of the house and the dining room and work in beverage – but wanted to learn how to cook so I could be a better manager.
That's a pretty awesome commitment. I mean, you have people who want to be in the front of the house to go to CIA now, but that was unusual.
Yeah, back then, you were a rare bird, the few, the proud.
I was the only coffee slapper that I knew.
I knew there was a nickname for it. Coffee slapper, is that what they call
you? Coffee slapper. That's us.
Yeah.
That's us boys.
Yikes. That's a very bizarre thing.
I'm a trained barista.
And so now you've gone
to... I hope you're a barista.
Barista, yeah.
Yeah,
Mark's not so good with the
true.
Italian.
Yeah,
he's better with the French. Anyway, but so you've gone back to CIA to teach, and do you primarily teach front of the house skills, wine skills, things like that?
My primary appointment, I'm working in the French restaurant, which is a formal French restaurant called the Escoffier Room.
Uh-huh.
Definitely. We twirl our mustaches.
Those French are scoffing everything. That's them.
I had to grow the mustache to be able to twirl it. We serve very classic formal French food. We have Dover sole and all, you know, the lamb chops don't have any fat on them and things like that. Very, very hoity-toity food, but in obviously an American restaurant. So I teach the students how to debone Dover sole and set food on fire on purpose.
Without the tablecloth also going up.
Right, right. Yeah. And I tell the students that if the little red trucks come, they fail for the day. teaching them some of the basics of true formal dining service that they're not going to learn anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in fact why most students choose the French restaurant over the American restaurant to work in. It's because they're not going to be able to learn this stuff anywhere else.
We're here talking with John Fisher from CIA,
professor at CIA,
Culinary Institute of America, and author of a new book called At Your Service. You're listening to Mark Pascal and Francis Schott, the Restaurant Guys,
on 1450. So, John, you teach. What you're saying is that when the students have a choice to work in the American restaurant for part of it, or to work in the French restaurant for part of it, and they choose the French restaurant because what I'm understanding you to say is they learn skills there that they may or may not use in the American restaurant, whereas working in the American restaurant, there's a less formal set of skills.
Formal set of skills. It's still the same curriculum. It's called advanced table service,
uh-huh.
but they just have a more modern approach. You know, it's more like going to Oriole as opposed to Le Caravelle or something.
Right, right.
And so we do teach them things at the same level, but obviously being in a French restaurant, we have to have the accent. You have to learn the words.
You do not. Everybody's making that up. He's making that up, John Fisher.
The mustache was bad enough.
I got your name. I got your number.
But anyway, so we do teach them some skills that they might even never have to use again in the field because restaurants where you have tableside service are disappearing. But I equate it to teaching Latin in high school.
Right. It's the basics. It's where it all comes from.
You don't
I couldn't agree
speak
more.
Latin, but it makes you better on Jeopardy, you know.
Yeah, well, that wasn't exactly the analogy that I was going for, John, but I accept the analogy.
Okay.
And do you spend a lot of time teaching people about wine up there?
We do spend a good day and a half on French wine in my class, but the students have already had a 3-week copperheads of wine class that is one of the hardest classes in the school because they have to learn the world of wine in 3 weeks. And, you know, we've been spending how many years teaching ourselves and learning about it. And to learn the entire world of wine in 3 weeks is obviously an impossible feat.
So are you saying that after you've had your student for 3 weeks, they know as much as I do about wine or more?
Possibly more. But they just don't show it as much.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't talk about it. They're not as secure in their knowledge as you are.
Thank you.
Well, Francis is very secure in his knowledge, for sure.
I'm not shy.
I'm extremely insecure. That's why I'm a teacher.
Actually, you should also know that John is one of the most wine-knowledgeable people that I have come across in my travels. We've done this
five
together.
Bucks coming your way,
Sean. Thank you.
So I do teach wine to my students, but I also teach some wine classes to some of our continuing education classes where professionals are coming in out of the field for short classes, and I'll teach them whatever aspect of wine they need to learn for their class of Italian or French or wine and food matching. So whatever they need me to do, I'm a hired gun.
Terrific.
For that department.
We're here talking with John Fisher on WCTC, author and CIA professor. John, tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, it's a book on it's a practical guide to dining room service. It just doesn't seem like there are very many of them around with lists of what to have for setup and things like that, but also some information on how the dining room and the kitchen need to relate, the relationship between the front of the house and the back of the house, which, as we know as professionals, is incredibly important. And a little bit on beverage. It's basically an overview of dining room service.
Great. We'll go a little bit more in depth into that at the other side of the break. You're listening to Central Jersey, WCTC, with Francis Schott and Mark Pascal, the Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450 time is 11:45.
We are back, the restaurant guys here, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott, with John Fisher, professor at CIA, the Culinary Institute of America, up in New York State in Hyde Park, and also author of At Your Service, a book on restaurant service. Now, John, you were telling us a little bit about your book before. Is this a book that is pretty much for use in culinary schools, or should every restaurant buy one, or would people who are not in the restaurant business find it interesting?
Well, I would say every man, woman, and child in the United States should
buy
one.
If you weren't making any money off the book,
You say? Well, it's intended as a textbook, at least the original proposal was for a textbook for culinary schools and hospitality schools. But I'm thinking that it might be a good thing for a lot of restaurateurs who maybe taught themselves how to do it.
Uh-huh.
A lot of mom-and-pop places.
And maybe taught themselves incorrectly? Is that what you're alluding to?
Potentially, but also there are lots of things that you two know as well as I do that we figured a lot of this stuff out on our own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and someone has a fainting spell and you don't know how to deal with it, you make it up on the spot. But
right.
This book does actually have some suggestions for how to deal with emergencies, as well as a lot of other information on how to run the dining room, how to take reservations, what the important things are at the door. Basically, every aspect of the dining room is covered, at least to a certain degree. And as I mentioned before the break, what I think one of the most valuable chapters is the relationship between the dining room and the kitchen, because it's been historically so poor in our business, that where the kitchen hated the front and the front hated the
kitchen.
Sure,
it's you have two very different personality types: one who works and chooses to work in the kitchen,
yeah.
One who chooses to work in the front of house.
And you're so right, John, that the management of the restaurant, our job is to make sure that they have a smooth relationship.
Yeah,
because in a restaurant where you are encouraging professionalism, you're all working toward the same end. You're not all there just to collect a paycheck, you know. And the waitress hates the cook, and the cook hates the waitress, and the chef throws a pot at somebody. That has no place in a professional restaurant.
No, and I think one thing that's interesting is that a lot of people will say, well, in the good old days, everybody hated each other.
Right.
Which I don't think is necessarily true, because I think the truly great restaurants always had a good relationship between the front and the back.
Sure.
Well, you need each other.
Yeah.
I mean, a great chef whose food is presented poorly doesn't show very well.
Right.
A great waiter who has horrible food to deal with or can't accommodate the customer is going to have problems and never show as a great waiter.
Yeah, I tell my students that if you look at the restaurant as if it were a stereo system, the waiters are the speaker. That's where the sound comes out. And if you have the equipment in the back of the kitchen and it's not so hot, whatever comes out of the speaker is still going to be bad.
Right, right.
But everything has to be the same quality and work together. And, I've found that by learning how to cook, I've almost gained instant respect, almost undeserved, from a lot of chefs that I know and that I've worked with.
Any respect you get is undeserved, John.
Yeah, I agree. But beyond that, because since you are a guest and we have to be at least civil.
Can somebody get this knife out of my back?
What? Now, you've had a lot of experience teaching restaurant professionals, John. What are the things that you just can't teach in school? Because there are aspects of our business that you just, you need experience. We hire a lot of CIA graduates, and they're great, and we love the program, and we get really well-prepared people for an entry-level job. But you don't walk out of CIA. My problem with CIA is a lot of people walk out and want to be sous chef right away. And like, I graduated from CIA, so I should be able to be the general manager of the restaurant. And that just doesn't fly.
I think that's decreased a lot in the last 10 years.
Yes.
I think when I was a student there, it was really bad. CIA ego was definitely a phenomenon that was fed by the school. But somewhere along the way, we realized that was not the way students should be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're much more... I hope they're much more humble than they were.
I love hiring CIA grads, John. I really do. But what are the things that you can't teach in school, that you can't learn from reading a book, that really only come with working in a restaurant for 10 years or 7 years?
Well, one thing that I don't think even comes from working in a restaurant is, in the words of our dear friend Dale DeGroff, I can teach a guy to make a drink, but I can't teach him to be nice.
Yeah, Dale DeGroff, the probably the most famous bartender in the world, who is also a mutual friend of ours. But
also nice.
And also a nice guy.
We have very, very important friends, don't we?
Yeah, let's pat each other on the back. Let's keep patting each other on the back. I'm really enjoying it.
I can't pat myself. I've got a knife back there.
No,
yeah,
sorry.
Friends come hard. Now, if you want more information about John Fisher and his book and the CIA, you can go to our website, which is restaurantguysradio.com, where we will have more information there. Now, can our folks come up and visit you at CIA, John, and maybe have dinner there?
Oh, sure. We have four public restaurants. There's the French restaurant I work in. There's the American Bounty restaurant, which is fine dining American cuisine. The Caterina de' Medici restaurant is our regional Italian restaurant with nary a spot of red sauce. It's actual real Italian regional food. Then we have our, for lack of a better term, healthy restaurant, the St. Andrew's Cafe, which people always say, ah, why go to the culinary for a healthy
Scottish
restaurant?
Food.
But the food's great.
Yeah.
And it's actually good for you.
Well, all right. Well, I'll go to the French place the next time I come. But, you know, it's a very reasonably priced thing, and you make a reservation, and it's really worth, if you live in Jersey, it's actually really worth taking a ride up there. It's beautiful country, and it's the restaurant where the professors like John are teaching the students, and the prices are incredibly reasonable because the idea is not for those restaurants to make money, but to teach your students, and the service,
right.
And the wine, and the food.
It's a classroom first and a restaurant second.
It's great stuff.
If they want to look at our website, ciachef.edu,
great.
There's a lot of information about the restaurants and how to make reservations. You can even make reservations online now.
And we'll put a link to that on restaurantguysradio.com.
Excellent.
So, John, one of the things that we're going to have to do when we get off the air is set up a luncheon for us to go out. So we'll make sure we make that happen next time you're down this way. We're very thankful to have John Fisher from the CIA.
Professor at CIA.
That's correct. And author of a book called At Your Service. With us on the Restaurant Guys today, I'm Mark Pascal, and with my partner Francis Schott. We'll be back in just a moment for just to wrap up with John Fisher. At Central Jersey, 1450, where the time is 11:55. Hi, and welcome back to the Restaurant Guys. We're Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. I'm talking to John Fisher, professor at CIA and author of the book At Your Service. John, welcome back with us.
It's great to be back.
With all this talk of professionalism, John, some of it is fun and games, and I want to relate. And why I have you on the line to verify
fun.
That this actually happened back in the years when you were a restaurant professional and a recent graduate of CIA. I remember being out to lunch with you one decadent afternoon, and after several bottles of wine,
I'm sure it was a Red Meat Club meeting.
You informed me and two other friends that it was the CIA class reunion. Do you remember this day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was on the world. What, was that a yacht? Some kind of boat?
No, well, it moved around, but it was always on a Red Meat Club day, because it was always on a
No, but this particular day that Jaime Cordoba, we went with Jaime Cordoba, it was on a pier or something, I don't know.
It was on one of the, one of those restaurant ships.
Yeah, it's all a little fuzzy, but he said, let's go to the CIA class reunion. I was like, well, I didn't go to CIA, John. He's like, it's fine, you're Jaime Cordoba. I said, I'm what? He said, you're Jaime Cordoba. I was like, he's like, I went to school with Jaime. You're Jaime, and you gave somebody else another name. And I think it was me that was Jaime.
And for those of people listening, you don't exactly look like a Jaime Cordoba.
No. What was funny is
he said, little Irish guy from Ireland.
Just tell him when you get there that you're Jaime Cordoba. So we got to the admittance counter, and they said name, and John said John Fisher, and they gave him a name tag, and they said name. And I said a little bit, after I had a little bit of one, I said, my name is Jaime Cordoba. And it was a fabulous party.
We did have fun, didn't we?
Yeah, that was really a lot of fun.
I think it was the party before the party where you guys had most of your fun.
So back on a serious note, John, do you think that restauranting in America is becoming more professional, that you're seeing more young people learning about food and wine and doing this as a career?
Well, I think more of our graduates, definitely. I know that more of our graduates now are going into the front of the house as opposed to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are plenty of good cooks out there now, and I think a lot of our graduates, especially the ones who are graduating with a bachelor's degree, are heading for management rather than going into line cook positions.
Mm-hmm. Although we still need our line cooks.
What's that?
Although we still need those
line cooks. Oh, I know that. We definitely need them. But after having spent, you know, $100,000 on college,
yeah,
there aren't a lot of students who want to make $12 an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, those jobs are opening up to them. And with the bachelor's degrees, we have students going now, instead of going to some of the mid-level hotels and the companies, they're actually going to the Four Seasons and Ritz-Carlton, the best hotels in the world. So they're stepping into middle management positions with a bachelor's degree, and that's a big change from when I was a student, when you were either going to be a cook or, you know, one person was going to be a dining room person, and that was me.
Well, thanks very much, John. It's been great having you today. I want to thank you very much for
it's been great being
spending
here.
The afternoon. And I also want to thank our earlier guest, Chris Cree, from 56 Degrees in Bernardsville, New Jersey. That was John Fisher, author of the book At Your Service. You can find all those things at restaurantguysradio.com. Have a good afternoon. Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 12 noon.